Hi, Dave.
Hi, Eric.
Hey, Dave. Do we curse on this podcast?
Yes, Eric. Yes, we do.
Are you ready, kids? Get your parents' permission, check your mailbox, and grab your shopping cart. It's time for the Adventures in Collecting podcast.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome to Adventures in Collecting,
where we talk toy news, culture, and hauls,
along with our journeys as collectors. All right, so this is a special episode. It is our first interview episode. So the other voice you're used to hearing, my brother Dave, will not be with us tonight, but I have a special guest. You might know her from her work on Dr. Aphra and Darth Vader and Gwenpool at Marvel Comics. She's now a comics editor and writer at Valiant. Welcome to Adventures in Collecting, Heather Antos.
Thank you. What a lovely, no pressure. I mean, first guest. You know, now I'm kind of sad that I didn't listen to the last episode because I would do an impression of your brother. That way they have a familiar voice.
I mean, just go as deep as you can and pretend you have a really big beard.
No.
Or don't. Or just don't. I mean, it's fine. It's fine. Whatever you want to do. The world is your oyster, Heather. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking time to be on our little podcast. And as I know you have not listened, we like to talk about toys.
I like to look at toys.
And I hope we're talking about the same kind of toy.
Man, I wasn't even going to go there, but
I figure I had to. You know, the first time I told somebody that my brother and I were starting this podcast and, you know, we were going to talk about toys, my brain is thinking about the action figures and everything that's around me, and people are nodding and they're kind of like squinting at me, and I'm like, no, not those toys. I'm talking about action figures. Get your mind out of the gutter. I mean, we're going to curse a lot, but we're not going to talk about those toys. Those toys are cool, but there's probably another podcast for that.
What if they were geek, those kind of toys? Because you know they're out there.
Yeah, I'm sure there's ones that are shaped like lightsabers and stuff.
I mean you could do a crossover episode one day. Just saying. Just putting it out there.
It's all about that cross promotion.
It is.
It's the only way your podcast grows.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. But dare to dream.
So the first thing that we talk about when we're on here, my brother and I, we talk about what is currently exciting us, what we're buying, our hauls. So tell us a little bit about what you collect.
Oh my gosh. Everything, a lot. I know you guys specifically talk about toys, but I, you know, being in comics, one of the things I do collect too is books, right? So I collect a lot of comic books, a lot of original art. And if you walk into my apartment in general, it is basically, I would say, 60% Star Wars and 40% Marvel, mostly Gwenpool. The majority of the stuff I collect now, just for money's sake, is just anything that Gwenpool is on. For the listeners at home, Gwenpool is a character I created at Marvel.
I was going to say, why don't you tell us a little bit why you have this preference for Gwenpool?
Yeah, she's my baby. I don't know. Like, she's my baby. I was an editor at Marvel for several years, and during my time there, I co-created the character Gwenpool, Gwendolyn Poole. And, you know, I was fortunate enough that she resonated with the fandom and took off and got her own series and is now appearing in toys and merchandise and video games and statues. And fans have made me jewelry featuring her comic art or collages or even hand knitted me a Gwenpool doll.
I know we're jumping ahead here.
Yeah.
But you are providing a perfect segue that I can't let go.
Uh-huh.
You have this experience where you've created this character, and she has resonated with all these people. And it must be one thing to see your character, you know, blossom in the original format. But what is it like to, like, I mean, I'm looking at the Gwenpool Marvel Legends figure, and she's currently photobombing behind Thor with her tongue out, the peace signal up, and a smartphone in her hand. What is it like to be able to hold one of your characters, like, actually hold one of your characters?
It's weird. Like, I'm sure for people who have been in the industry much longer and have had this happen, you know, time and time again, it's, you know, they're a little bit more used to it. But even I was talking with my boyfriend the other day, just about even like Deadpool characters that I worked on, or different versions of Deadpool. And Deadpool is a character, you know, who's been out for decades. But specific, you know, arcs of his that I worked on have gotten, you know, different costumes or whatever, and there are now Funkos of that. And it's so amazing. It's so weird. I like to equate it to, you know, as a high schooler, college kid, you're hanging out with your friends and you're sitting around a table and you're talking about, you know, Star Wars or Marvel, or you're pitching your dream stories. Wouldn't it be cool if, you know, Han Solo married Princess Leia? Wouldn't it be cool if they had a kid and he became the next Darth Vader? Wouldn't it be cool if yada, yada, yada? And like, that's my job, is to do that. I get paid to do that. And then to see that stuff come to life and resonate with people, because that's why we do it, right? We do it for it to resonate with the fans. It's absolutely incredible and surreal. And then for it to resonate so much that people want to buy stuff with that character, or wear stuff with that character, or dress up as that character, it makes it so much more real. I have a really great story, specifically regarding that Marvel Legends Gwenpool figure that you have, Eric. That's her first action figure she had. Is that one. And I first learned about it 3 years ago at Star Wars Celebration in Orlando. I was at a dinner with a bunch of writers, artists, and some Lucasfilm people. And, you know, I'm there when we see the Rogue One trailer drop, and I get to talk to Mark Hamill and like all of these things that should be the biggest deal of that show. But I'm at this dinner, and John Tyler Christopher, who does all of the designs for the Marvel Legends action figures, turns to me and he goes, "Oh, hey, I just did one for Gwenpool. Do you want to see it?" And he shows me the design for this action figure. And I literally, I shit you not, I just burst into tears, because, you know, it's not only is it her there, but he included the Penguin backpack, which is, as you know, very special to me, because I adore penguins. I love penguins so much so that I suggested to the artists that Gwen have a penguin backpack, and the penguin backpack has made it into the toy, which makes it so much more real that I contributed to this character. It's just, and it's very self-indulgent, but it's also amazing.
Well, I mean, I get it, because even as a person who, you know, I had obviously had nothing to do with this character, like I just enjoy her. But looking at these, especially with the Marvel Legends, you know, that scale and the amount of work that goes into them, I look at them as pieces of art. Like I don't want them to live in the box. I take them out. I like to pose them. I like to inspect them, see all the details, like even down to, and especially on that Marvel Legends figure, you know, the details on her shoes, the backpack, the different heads, just the nuances of her eyes and her face. And I went out and bought the figure. You know, I remember seeing her on the pegs, I think at Walmart or Target, and I knew of the character. And this was before I met you. And I met you. You told me about the character, and I went out and I bought Volume One and I read it, and I closed Volume One and I calmly walked downstairs, put my shoes on, grabbed my wallet, my keys, and drove to the store. And I was like, I need to own that figure. And as soon as I got her out of the box, I'm like flipping through the pages of Volume One, and I'm like, man, like, damn, they fucking nailed this. Yeah. Like, look at how perfect, like, even like little things, like the shape of like the way that the mask bends when she smiles. Mm-hmm. Like, the amount of care that went into the sculpt of that figure, it's obvious. And like, there are some where you can see they're phoned in. Like, they know that they have a wave of figures that they have to put out, and they have the build-a-figure pieces and all of them, and it's like, all right, we're going to do Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, we're going to do Star-Lord, and we're going to do Gamora, and we're going to do Rocket. And it's just like, okay, you know, like, there's that figure that's just thrown in where you can see it's reused parts. She was clearly a labor of love. Like, that was very obvious.
Yeah, no, it's just incredible. And like, even beyond, I think I was even more elated when Dr. Aphra and Triple Zero and BT, when some of the Star Wars characters I worked on were created because I'm not sure if you're aware, but the first Dr. Aphra figure that came out, the Hasbro 6-inch, she was a fan vote. Yep. And she,
I voted for her.
Did you?
I don't even collect the 6-inch figures, but like, I'm on all those websites, yeah, where they were having the polls and everything. And I definitely voted for her.
Yeah.
I wanted to see her come to life.
Well, and she was up against like Ahsoka and the Emperor, and she was up against like fan favorite, like legitimate fan favorite characters. And so I was just flattered that, you know, she was included. But I didn't think, especially up against Ahsoka, I didn't think that she had any shot of winning whatsoever. And then she won, and she's a toy. And like, to have, I don't know, like, there's something about like, Star Wars fans are some of the fiercest fans out there. And Lucasfilm is very picky about what they choose to put out there, especially now as they're, you know, reestablishing canon. And so for Lucasfilm and the fans both to acknowledge Aphra and Triple Zero and BT as a very important part of the new saga, it's very affirming, you know, and it's very validating to all the work that we've put into creating her and telling her story. And I'm staring over at my collection of Dr. Aphra and Triple Zero figures right now, and they look lovely.
I'm doing the same. I currently have my single carded Dr. Aphra is sitting on the edge of the Millennium Falcon.
Nice.
And then the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive 3-pack. It's actually the only Star Wars action figures that I have not opened. I love the vintage packaging on it. And even though that's the only way to get Triple Zero and BT at the moment, they're living in the package because I don't have the heart to open it for some reason. I just can't touch that one.
I open my Funkos, but my Gwenpool action figures. I have the May Effects Gwenpool and Evil Gwenpool, and then the Marvel Legends Gwenpool. Like, those are all still in their boxes. My Black Series Aphra is still in boxes. Yeah, but Funkos, I don't care. Funkos, I'll take out of the box. I'm sorry, all you Funko people.
I feel like we didn't give enough justice to Dr. Aphra just now. We like mentioned her and talked about how cool she is, but where did I know the story of where Dr. Aphra came from, but I don't know if a lot of other people do. Tell us a little bit about your Indiana Jones of the Star Wars world.
Well, she's the Indiana Jones of the Star Wars world.
All right, cool. Let's move on.
All right. So no, I don't know. Again, it's all self-indulgent. No,
Indulge away.
Yeah, we're planning the new Darth Vader series. Jordan, Lucasfilm Story Group, Kieran, and everyone involved, and Kieran started talking about he wanted to do this like space archaeologist character, and I had just come off very recently, having just moved and graduated college and moved from Michigan over. I just completed a 6-year Star Wars tabletop RPG game of a tech specialist droid creator named Alatia, who's very similar to the things we were talking about with Dr. Aphra, and it just kind of morphed into this character that I've played in a Star Wars D&D campaign for 6 years. That was, you know, I've always been fascinated by the Star Wars characters that aren't Jedi, that don't have Force abilities. I've always been fascinated by those stories of the, for lack of a better term, normal people in these abnormal situations. How do they survive? How do they get by? And I feel like Aphra is a very, very good example of a survival or a survivor in a very, very risky, scary, war-torn situation. You know, she's not necessarily good. She's not necessarily bad. She just wants to live and get by. And I think that's very relatable and fun. And to have someone who has the balls to stand up to Darth Vader is crazy. I think crazy.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Crazy. She's definitely a little crazy. She's a little fly by the seat of her pants.
A little bit. But also, yeah, but bit. Also not right. Like also, she very clearly, because I mean, spoiler alert for those of you who don't know and haven't read, but she very clearly planned out her way to fake her death. Right. Like.
Yes. If one could be extremely calculated while also flying by the seat of their pants, they would be Dr. Aphra.
I feel like, and this is a thing actually I think she and I have, we're very, very similar, is she's extremely smart and extremely capable. So when she knows she needs to plan something out, she's very good at it. But she also doesn't like putting in a lot of effort into things if it's not worth it. she's very lazy.
Work smart, not hard.
Exactly. No, and that's I'm very much the type of person where I'm like, I really want this, but I don't want to get it. So it's not worth it. So I'm not going to do it. But I still really want it, you know? but it's just not worth the effort. And so, but I feel like staying alive was worth the effort for Aphra. And so she put the plan into motion.
I mean, life is kind of important.
Yeah.
especially when you're roaming the galaxy and selling off artifacts.
Well, there you go. Well, and she did she did still owe Black Crescent a lot of money. So
Yes. Everyone's favorite other Wookiee.
Yes.
So speaking of things and wanting things, mm-hmm. right? One of the things that we always talk about, my brother and I always talk about as collectors, and I feel like it's one of those things where when you're on the web and you're in one of the, you know, like either a subreddit or one of the forums, you know, talking about toys, one of the first things that comes up is what's that toy that you want? Like what's that toy that, you know, Hasbro or MayFX or SH Figure Arts, the toy that you wish that they would just make already?
I want a Dr. Aphra Funko.
They haven't made one of those yet?
They haven't. No, they haven't. And it's driving me crazy.
They have like three different versions of Chandler from Friends at this point.
Yeah. But they don't have Dr. Aphra. They don't have Trip Zero. They don't have BT. They don't have those Funkos. And I feel like Triple Zero and BT Funkos would be very easy because they're just R2 and C-3PO repaints.
Absolutely.
Like they already have the molds. They don't need to make a new mold. And even for Dr. Aphra, her mold is very easy. I feel like it's very similar to other characters they've already done. Again, it's just a repaint. They haven't done it yet. And I'm like, Hasbro's done it. Why can't they just get off their ass and do it? I also do really want an Aphra Kotobukiya statue. Cause BT and Triple Zero have them.
Wait, what? They made the droids before they made the maker?
Exactly, right?
That's a little backwards.
Right? What was it? Star Wars Celebration Orlando, Triple Zero and BT were the Kotobukiya exclusives for the show. And so I jumped on those. You bet your bottom dollar I did. and literally while I was there picking them up, I talked to the reps and I was like, guys, what the fuck? And they're like, no, we know. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I made her.
I only collect her now. If you want my money, you will make her. No, I think she'd be a hot seller. I mean, to your point, right? So you had the first time that she appeared as an action figure through Hasbro, she was up against, I mean, literally that vote started as a blue sky vote where before they whittled it down to like that final, I want to say it was like 8 characters. It was literally comment here and comment with the character in the entire Star Wars universe, canon and non-canon, that you want Hasbro to make. And out of all of those, I mean, that's hundreds and hundreds of characters. If you think about even some of like the characters in like Return of the Jedi that are hanging out in Jabba's palace that are on the sail barge, like that get FaceTime in the films that have not been made into any scale figure, whether it's 6-inch or 3¾. And this, I don't want to say relatively obscure, but you know, a comic book character beat out all those characters and she's not a Funko Pop. Like that to me is like,
it's absurd.
It is kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, no, it's super, super crazy. Fans have been asking Funko for it for years. I have been once every couple of months, I poke a thing on Twitter and I'm just like, what the fuck, Funko?
And you get responses on Twitter too. So I'm surprised.
I do. And like, I used to collect all of the Star Wars Funkos. I own about 100 Star Wars Funkos. And then they got to the point where Force Awakens was coming out. And then they're like, now we're going to have 6 different versions of this one character. And I was like, I don't make enough money to do this. once I like actually thought about how much money I had spent on these Funkos, but like my Star Wars Funko collection is, I'm very proud of it. And I want a Dr. Aphra, goddammit.
Well, Funko, if you're listening, which you're probably not, at least not yet.
Not yet.
This is another request.
We'll get you that sponsorship.
Oh boy, my brother would be through the roof. if you're listening, we want our Dr. Aphra, goddammit.
We do.
Through gritted teeth, we want our Dr. Aphra.
It's important.
So we've gone over the major characters here. We know what you're collecting. We know what you want. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, right? So I feel like the majority of these toys, these action figures, even the Funko Pops, I feel like there is kind of this aura around them, or maybe that's not the right word, this perception that these toys are for, and I'm doing air quotes here, for boys, right? Mm-hmm. Action figures have always been, even in the commercials, going back to when we were children, and you know, my brother, who's a little bit older than we are, you know, when he was a kid, we're always boys playing with these action figures, and you know, the girls' toys were reserved for like the dolls and the fairy things, and you know, just a whole different world of pink and lavender colored plastic, right? Mm-hmm. How do you think that these strong, or how do you feel about these strong female characters being turned into like action figures? Do you think that this is opening up doors for, you know, full disclosure, my daughter will be 4 by the time this episode airs, and I encourage her to play with my old action figures, and she helps me set up my new Marvel Legends, and she loves watching, you know, helping me go through all of my Star Wars figures, and she plays with them. Mm-hmm. And she takes them and they mix right in with the little Disney princesses that she has, and you know, the other toys, they all play together. And I love watching that. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love, love, love watching that. And I would love for this perception to go away, but I don't know how we get there.
So it's, you know, it's an interesting thing. Like you bringing this up, because it made me start thinking about my childhood and what my toys were that I played with. And I did have, you know, I did have my Barbie collection as a girl, but I was the only girl in not just my immediate family with my brothers, but even my extended family. So I had all boy cousins. I was the only girl. And so though I had my Barbies that I played with, their houses were built out of Legos. And I took my brother's Legos and I made, you know, the stable for my Barbie's horses was made out of Legos. And they had a Lego car. And I had my own collection of action figures that were based off of all of the classic Disney films. So I had, and I had a giant tub filled of these, that all the Aladdin action figures and all the Lion King action figures and all the Hunchback of Notre Dame action figures and all of the Pocahontas ones and all of these. So for me, action figures were a very normal part of my childhood. And so in my brain, there really isn't a, you know, a wall or a barrier between, you know, what's meant for boys or what's meant for girls. You know, that's very clear when you walk into a toy store or a Walmart toy aisle and you see, oh, clearly the boy aisle is the one with Batman and Power Rangers and, you know, all of this stuff. And it's black and blue and action. And then the girls aisle's all pink. And, but again, with, you know, Star Wars and the Marvel films and the, you know, Wonder Woman and Batman, with all this being in the cultural zeitgeist right now, those lines are getting blurred a little. And I think that is just so, so cool. Because, you know, they want, you know, you have the Justice League film. And so Wonder Woman is going to be in the action figure pack. So the girls are going to want that Wonder Woman. So they're going to wander into that aisle. And vice versa, right? You're going to have that crossover. And I think it all comes down to, and I would like to praise you because I think you're doing it right, where you're normalizing it with Maddie, with your daughter. And it's a normal thing. It's a celebrated thing for her to mix and to play and to just, you know, there's no, you know, toys are toys. There's no distinguish between what a boy or girl can play with. And I think we're seeing that too with the new films featuring strong female leads, specifically in Star Wars. One of my favorite experiences I had when Force Awakens came out, I was still working at Marvel at the time. And one of the higher ups in creative services brought his like 4-year-old son around, just to the different offices and to, you know, check out Marvel. And so he brought him to the Star Wars office and I was talking with him and I was like, asking him if he'd seen the movie and he said he had, and I asked him who his favorite character was. And he goes, Rey. And his dad goes, he even wants to be Rey for Halloween. And I just thought that was so cool that, you know, here we have the future, basically, and this little kid who doesn't see, oh, this is a girl. I can't like this character because I'm a boy. It's someone who just sees a character doing cool things that he thinks is badass. And so he wants to emulate that, and be like that. And it just happens to be a woman. And that's so cool. And like, that's how we normalize it. That's how we get there is, you know, we as adults need to show the younger generation that it is normal and it is okay and it is fine and not make a big deal out of it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's tough, especially when it comes to Star Wars, because, you know, there's really no easy way to tiptoe around it, but the community is these new films, the Disney backed films have been very, unfortunately, very divisive, mm-hmm. amongst the community. And you have a lot of this extremely toxic behavior and, you know, people who are down so hard on some of these characters, like poor Rosemary Tran, like everything mm-hmm. that she went through after The Last Jedi and having to like pretty much disappear. Mm-hmm. I have always been a very big proponent for like defending Star Wars, where like I'm into the story. You know, I've lovingly embraced with open arms the gaping plot holes of the prequels and, you know, like, and all of it. And when these new movies came out and people reacting the way that they were, it was just like, I almost felt like I didn't belong in in the community anymore. Even like looking at the going into the toy aisle, and it's like just rows and rows and rows of Rose figures. Mm-hmm. And you know, asking why, like why, like she's pretty much one of the she's one of the main characters in The Last Jedi, and her role was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like she was the beacon of hope when everything was failing. Mm-hmm. When every single thing was failing in that film, she was the one that kept everything going. Whether it was the scene when they were on Canto Bight, or whether when in, you know, she stopped Finn from killing himself. Mm-hmm. You know, without her, we would not have the story. And that's not an issue of poor writing or like bad character development. She is as important to the story as, you know, for a lack of a better comparison. I mean, in that those original films, she's as important as Princess Leia was.
Oh, you know, yeah.
The story is not going anywhere if you don't have characters like that. And I love seeing these strong female characters. I don't know whether it's just my personality or the fact that I have a daughter and I want her to have the same thing that I had growing up. You know, being a white dude, you have tons of white dudes to look up to. Mm-hmm. Like, just fact. Like, we
take
do.
Your pick.
And
take
yeah,
your pick.
Right? And I'm very fortunate, and I don't take that for granted. I know that, you know, things are a whole hell of a lot harder for a lot of other people. But I want my daughter to have those strong characters. And when I realized sitting opening night, watching Force Awakens, going, oh man, this is like, this is no joke. Like Rey, this is Rey's story. Like, yes, it's part of the Skywalker saga, but this is Rey's story. I'm getting chills just saying that right now, knowing that, you know, when Maddie grows up, if she decides to continue down this dorky road I've set her upon, that she'll have these characters to look up to. And who knows what's going to happen in the next film. You know, there's that moment in the trailer where it looks like she might be a little going either dark or it's a, you know, some sort of vision, but still, like, she has these extremely strong, extremely intelligent, extremely admirable characters to look up to. And I wish there was a way to unite as strongly as the toxic crowd has to kind of try to undo what they're doing. And it boils down to everything. It goes from the storytelling and the film all the way down to the action figures. It's just, it's incredible.
No, I agree. I 100% agree. And I think, you know, you know, say what you want about the storytelling, or, you know, if things happen the way you wanted to, whatever, in the Star Wars movie, it's like the coolest thing is, you know, for women right now is before all we got was Princess Leia in the original trilogy. That's it. That's all we got. We got her. And in the prequel trilogy, we got Padme, and that was it. That's who we got. And this new onslaught of movies, we have, not only do we have multiple women, but we have an age range in those women. And that, I think, is one of the coolest things is we have, you know, Carrie Fisher and Laura Dern repping your more fine wines of ladies. And then you have, you know, the new, and oh my gosh, Star Wars fans kill me, but I can't remember the lady in the Solo film, Thandie Newton. We have her, we have, you know, we have this range of races and ages and of all these very, very talented women, which is a thing we've just never had before. And it's so awesome to see.
Yep. And even that, in the cartoons, in the TV shows,
exactly.
Too. The Ahsokas and the, you know, the other members of the Jedi Council, you know, that are out there, the Barriss Offees
and this being presented as normal to the next generation, like it's only going to make things more inclusive and better And, you know, seeing it in our films means we're going to be seeing it in our toys. So not only do we see them on the screen, but the kids are going to get to play with them and see that normal too. And that's so, so, so beautiful to see that despite the toxicity that, you know, we experience in the present, because this wasn't normal for these people, for those people's childhoods, it is going to be normal for the next generation. So hopefully with that, that toxicity will subside.
Yeah. Nothing made me happier than when I bought, I have wanted the Graflex, you know, the standard Skywalker lightsaber for a very long time. And I always kept passing on it and passing on it and passing on it. And finally, I got a really good deal on it. I actually found it on clearance, the most recent Black Series one. And I just had a big shit-eating grin on my face when I picked up the box and I saw that it was Rey's lightsaber.
Yeah.
And I picked it up and I was just like, oh, I can feel your hate. I can feel your hatred. It's flowing through you. Like I could just like, oh, like it just made me so happy to see that. And then I took it out of the box and it's the same lightsaber that, you know, we've known for 40 years.
Exact same one.
And I was just like, oh, you brilliant bastards. You are absolutely brilliant. I hope this didn't cut that deeply into your sales, but just seeing her face and it saying Rey's lightsaber was just like, mwah.
Yeah.
Like, perfect.
Yep. make those fanboys angry.
The little wins. It's all about the little victories.
Yes, I agree.
So Heather, what can we plug for you? What do you have going on?
Oh man, when is this going to be live?
This is going to be live September 30th.
Oh my gosh! So next Monday.
Next Monday.
So the thing I want to plug technically then doesn't get announced till tomorrow. So I guess I would say follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Heather Antos, so you can see the thing that I'm going to announce that is really big and I've been working on all year and I'm very excited for. That's it.
That's it. should they send pictures of penguins at least?
Send pictures of penguins. And if you're going to New York Comic Con and you see me, come say hi. I have bright pink hair.
Listen, thank you so much for joining me again. I know I've thanked you like six times already. I'm not even gonna edit them out. I'm gonna leave them all in because I want to fanboy a little bit.
Aww.
I think that's allowed. I think I'm allowed. Shout out to Heather's boyfriend with whom I would not have met this wonderful human being that you're hearing from on this episode.
There you go. Rub his ego. He'll be thrilled.
Well, if I do it enough, his head will get so large that he will not be able to exit his apartment. So we gotta be careful. We gotta a little bit, just a little bit.
Just a little bit. There you go. Thank you so much for having me, Eric. This is so much fun.
Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us today. Subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen, and then tell your friends to do it. Thanks also to Joe Azari, the golden voice behind our intro. Our music is Game Boy Horror by the Zombie Dandies. Find more about them both in our show notes.
Follow us on social media at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Stop by and say hi, show us your toy hauls, and share your toy stories. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Don't try this at home. Void where prohibited and some assembly required. Each sold separately, not a flying toy. Consult a physician if your toy run exceeds more than 4 hours.